Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1186. This is Kevin DeFranco. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, I know how much you love both NXT and AEW.
Oh.
And oh boy, this week did not do either brand any good, quite frankly.
No, it
So
really didn't.
it was a little bit of a hard bit to figure out what to start with here, really, because both of them have upcoming shows, kind of big shows. I'm trying to
On
think
the
of
same
what.
day,
Oh,
we're
that's
bearing the
right.
lead there.
I forgot about the dump, that they're counter programming.
Yeah, it's
'Cause
easy to forget about that.
yeah. But yeah, I mean, not that I'm super sold on what All In is presenting for me.
No.
But I'm also not really excited with whatever. I'm trying. Is it Heat Wave? Is that what they're
Yeah,
calling
Heat
this one?
Wave, which will follow the AAA special, but AAA has announced nothing for that either. Well, we've got pretty much largely a card for Heat Wave, but yeah, AAA's announced nothing. They've got Triple Mania 2 weeks later. I mean, in comparison to last year, I mean, anticipation from All In is basically nothing for me. But at the same time, I could still see myself pulling the trigger on this one instead of watching the free WWE shows, for lack of a better term.
Well, yeah, I mean, depending upon, yeah, I think I'm around that particular weekend. I think I travel the following weekend. So I believe I can actually get All In, and I guess there's enough intrigue
Yeah.
there. I feel like they've telegraphed at least the main event finish. Not that I didn't feel
Well,
like they telegraphed it already, but oof.
they telegraphed that thing 6 months ago. But yeah, I mean, there is that. It's still Wembley. It still feels like a big show. It still feels like something you ask people who, quote unquote, cover this as a hobby, if not a living. We probably should watch at least this is our one AEW pay-per-view of the year.
Well, yeah, I know that I've skipped at least one All In. But I do believe I've bought it more times than I haven't.
Yeah, I
Since
mean, they've only had
they've been around long enough that I know I definitely skipped one.
Yeah,
But
I think we all skipped that one. Yes.
this one does seem to have enough going for it. That it's but yeah, like you said, like they can definitely talk. I'm on the fence, slash leaning their way, just like you said, to get that. I know that the CW will just go ahead and tape NXT Heat Wave, so
Yeah, exactly.
that's the other thing that that the counter
Yeah.
programming to me, when you have access to it already and you're not needing to pay the additional monies, human monies, it's just like, yeah, I'm gonna go with this one here, for the night, and we'll
I
backfill
can
that
watch those
stuff.
one th those other two shows whenever I want, or in NXT case, I may not watch it at all because this lineup is absolute ass. For an NXT PLE or formerly known as a takeover.
Oh man. I just pulled up the card right now. And A, amusing that it's five matches given well no, that isn't that hold on, that is the number that they're keeping for most PLEs at this point, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and for NXT, yeah. because it's the CW with commercial with regular ad breaks. Not even like these kind of the different kind of ad breaks they do on ESPN, where you get a whole match. You could get a 30-minute match, of course. That's not going to be interrupted, but then you get the commercial afterward. This is routine, quarterly ad breaks, or 2 to 3 minute ad breaks. Yes. In the middle of matches and everything, yes. For us, for a PLE. So yeah, 5 matches, 3 hours with commercials. Yeah, that sounds about right.
And I guess there's more to it than what's just on here, on this card, and I'm not sure. Like, I guess I was wondering about just doing a full-on preview of it, but many of these people were kind of in the situation
I mean,
this weekend.
we can certainly start with NXT, as the story of the main event was weaved throughout the night through multiple segments. Yeah.
Everyone seemed to kind of get their own separate segment,
Yeah.
even though they all also interacted a little bit along the way. But
Yeah.
Tony D'Angelo kind of got his own thing. Grayson Waller got his own thing. Cruz Montana got his own thing, and then of course Zilla Fatu officially signed to
Yeah.
NXT as of this week's
Yeah,
show.
and what a great deal that Robert Stone made. This guy most people have never heard of before. It's signed to a deal where he gets a title match on his first night. That's the boy, I'm sure he ran a hard bargain there. Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like Vic has even been selling this as the hottest free agent in wrestling today. You know,
No, it really
sometimes he
doesn't.
pulls out
Yeah.
that line and it has not been used.
Just another guy waiting to join the Bloodline mess. I mean, all of these new signings just jumping right into the title picture. It just it's overkill at this point.
It's beyond maddening. Jeremy and I just talk about it week after week, it seems, because they keep on doing it. And I
Yeah.
mean, Zilla Fatu, and honestly, and Cruz Montana, well, actually, all three of the challengers in this match really just got to NXT. Even
They
Grayson
did.
Waller's in a lot
Oh
of
yeah.
respects, you know?
Yes.
Because he was definitely off of their programming for two
Yeah.
years.
He was off of NXT for a couple of years at least. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe
So,
three. Maybe been going on 3 years. Yeah. It's
yeah.
been a while, and of course he's back there. And I think I've talked about it with Jeremy and on shows. You've talked about. I'm sure you have. That these this Grayson Waller character is making everything in NXT worse, because he is pointing out the truth to such a brutally honest level that even the most, if you have, there are any art and NXT fans left, you gotta be like, no, he's really got a point there.
It's
This is
definitely one of those
counterproductive.
things. It to me, it's one of those Vince-isms that is still in the WWE product. They
It's
love to send messages live on TV for
well,
some
yes.
reason, and I'll never understand. It's just like, well, you're the one that's supposed to be doing the developing here.
Yeah,
You know, this is on you guys as much as it's on the talent. And I mean,
Oh,
if
it's
you
more
don't
on
think.
them. Because the talent, this talent now, this green fucking roster doesn't know what they're doing, and they're not supposed to know what they're doing. God of booking Shawn Michaels is supposed to be guiding the way here. And again, it was just so much sudden change for NXT. So many people went up between late last year and all the way up until like right now, because we're getting we're Lullaby is moving on. There's it just everyone has moved on this year,
And
and they
Tatum
had nothing. They didn't have,
Paxley moved
yeah,
on. Like,
Tatum Paxley had moved on, yeah.
they really decimated the NXT
They
roster
did,
as
I mean,
much as
we've,
they have in a long time.
yeah, this NXT as a brand, as a TV show, no one could sustain all of this change and change that for the better. And then of course the elements that make it, more like a sport, where we have to have these athletes, these well-trained athletes being able to go out there and have these matches on TV. So these people are having these guys. I feel bad for the talent. They are having their very first matches on global television and streaming. That's not fair.
Because it's definitely something that Jeremy and I bring up on pretty regular basis. Like, by the time we saw Hulk Hogan, like, the guy had been around like 5 to 7 years or something like that, you
Yeah.
know? And it's just like, it's wild when people do develop as quickly as they do. And get the call up in that fashion. But that's why it's, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm not surprised that it's always weird the balance between who is down there for a long time and needed to be down there, just because they needed to cook for longer and get more reps and everything. And the people that are down there a long time, and then you're just going like, because to bring it back to the main event scene here, Tony D'Angelo is the guy that I sit here and I still go like, if you guys don't like him, cut him. You know what I mean? Like, it's so weird why he, in particular, has been there with all of these call-ups that have happened. They had to put the reset button on this guy in particular, and he hasn't really done. I still like him, but he hasn't really done that much different. Like, I thought he was a good promo for the most part. They made him a little more serious, which is fine, but I still think that this more serious character is kind of underdeveloped a little bit.
It's a very underdeveloped character. There isn't a character at all. It's the guy who wears black. I mean, that's pretty much what he is now. And yeah, there's no development here. He's there's he's going backwards for sure. I would say, even as the champion in this brand, he's not. There's just nothing more for him to do in NXT. I mean, and the problem is they took everything from him. They took everything that worked for him away from him, and now we're left with this kind of bland persona and a guy who's an okay worker, really nothing too special there. You're right about instead of letting him go or bringing him up to the main roster, they made him champion here, and he's just wrestling all of these quote unquote stars from past NXT, TNA, the Indies, whatever. Anyone with any kind of buzz just gets to bypass everything to go for the NXT championship because homegrown NXT. Nobody's ready. Nobody's even ready to challenge for the NXT championship in NXT.
I mean, that is, in some ways, I did, don't blame Shawn Michaels in that department. I don't feel like you want, I'm trying to think of who they're giving that personality to. I don't know why his name keeps on escaping me.
You're expecting me to remember all the names of anyone in NXT.
Well, it's the guy that keeps on acting. He was all angry at first, and now he's just nothing but nice. And he brought Robert Stone coffee late at night. And Jeremy occasionally helps me out, but I don't know why I am really slipping on the guy's name right now.
Oh shit! That was a
Because he's one of the, like you're talking about, he's one of the younger guys that probably doesn't deserve to be in the main event area. But like he would have been an option if it weren't for, Grayson Waller coming back, Cruz Montana getting signed, and well, and Zilla Fatu getting signed, obviously, in
yeah.
the all in the recent past. Like, there's, I guess that's one of those things where they almost need to import those types of people, however often this happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like there's always going to be some type of indie presence, I guess, or someone that has worked a few years at least.
Well,
Because I
yeah,
don't know how
and you
long
should have people
Zilla
like that.
Fatu has been around. I mean, I know that I've heard the name at some point. Oh,
It's
actually
been.
born in the 90s. Good for him. Oh, trained by Booker T. Okay. This might be why. But 2023, so he did not really start all that long ago.
No, I guess not. No,
So
yeah, I could, I'm not familiar with his work at all.
neither am I. I definitely do not get the reality of wrestling. That is not on my docket for things to start watching. It might be on Jeremy's at some point if it comes to YouTube or something like that. But yeah, well, and I don't think it's helped Tony's reign here at all because he keeps on getting tossed into these multi-person matches. And I feel like you develop character better when you're in a one-on-one situation rather than what is happening here, which is him constantly having multiple opponents. And it's just like, because I think wasn't he just in a triple threat match just before that? I think his title defense before that, I want to say.
Wasn't it Naraku was his last one?
Oh no, I
That
guess it
was just a
wasn't
single?
Raku. That was actually just a single.
Yeah.
And you know what? That did not really help his character all that much.
No, it did not. No.
Undermining my own point as I
No, that
talk about it more.
no, everything in NXT is undermining.
Oh
I mean
man.
he was undermined by opening that PLE in the women's match going last. Not that you couldn't have
Oh.
argued it, but it's just something to piling it on that, again, as Grayson Waller has so helpfully pointed out to everybody, men's wrestling in NXT is the shits.
Yep, it is not good.
And the
I
women's wrestling
am.
isn't even half what it used to be either, really.
They definitely left more on the tree branches there, but
Yeah.
it's still a little tough. Like if you really go outside of kind of like their top six people, it's a bit of a tough sell. 'Cause
Oh,
even
yeah.
Izzy Dame, like they've pushed her as something of relevant. Unfortunately for her, she keeps on losing matches. So that is always a problem to being taken seriously.
Yes, and of course now the NXT Women's Mid and Undercard is being taken over by Natty and her little group. Oh, well, that was that painful. That well, yeah. Let's see. Let's move on through the show, I guess. We get Natty versus Thea Hale. Not much of a match here. We've gone really gone 0 to 100 with this Jada Parker Thea Hale thing, haven't we?
Yeah, it's
It doesn't.
a weird pairing. I'm not sure why it's necessary. I don't want Natty on my TV anymore, period. End of
No, she
sentence.
can go.
I don't care if, as Booker T mentioned, she's the greatest trainer in the world or something like that, I believe was his phrasing this week.
Those who can't do teach.
So I'm just throwing it out there.
But this
She can
whole
stay
melodramatic
on the
sequence
sideline.
of, sorry, but this whole metal, the whole melodramatic sequence of Natty having Thea in the sharpshooter and Jada Parker almost being moved to tears. Like, you two aren't even friends. Like, what?
Yeah, until like 2 weeks ago, you weren't really friends. So why, yeah, like why should this be that important to her? Like they've tried to stress that this friendship has come a long way in a short time period. It's still an odd fit, and I'm not quite sure why it's necessary. And what it's doing for the story in general, other than just extending this thing unnecessarily.
It
Like
is, yes.
Jada beat her. End of story. Like that's it.
Yeah, that's the end of the story, yeah.
So yeah, that yeah, Natty can just she really can just hit the bricks. Oh yeah, so that was yeah, that was the That was the second match of the night. Oh, yeah, because the first match of the night was the four-way match for the shot at Rey Fénix for the AAA Cruiserweight Championship. EK Prosper, Mr. England, Tristan Angels, Romeo Moreno, and La Parka. I will admit, I kind of got a kick out of Booker T selling that this was the same La Parka that he wrestled 20 some odd years ago. I mean, I know that that had to have been a bit. Like, I know that Booker
That
T
has
can
to
be
be a bit,
dense
yes.
sometimes, but I'm just like, okay, I'm like, this is hilarious. This is really funny that he's just decided to commit to this one.
Yeah, that's one of the really one of the highlights of this damn show. Yes. Yes, Booker T. Yes, Booker T really committed to that degree. We got oh, in the end, EK Prosper gets the win. He, from what I've seen, he's all right. I see too much of Javon Evans in him, really.
He does seem like a Javon redo, and if they are planning on also signing Leon Slater, I'm like, you got three guys with a really similar skill set and a kind of similar look.
That's a good that's definitely a good way to put it. Yeah, it's just it feels like there were definitely they definitely intention this feels very intentional though. It does, and it just like with shit, what's his name? God, the
No, you're not
the
even
big
giving me any
guy.
clues to help out.
No, I know I'm terrible. Yeah, no, the really big guy, the shit, what's his name?
Because yeah, I'm assuming you don't mean anyone from OTM.
No, not anyone from OTM. Keanu Carver, yeah.
That was the guy that I was trying to think of earlier.
Yes, yeah,
Yeah.
Keanu Carver. Just, he shows up like a week after Obafemi leaves and doing a lot of the same shtick, It's just they are looking for like direct replacements for the people who've left. That's the point I was trying to make.
Oh. yeah. And I'm not yeah, so I wasn't surprised that EK won the match. Also, I kind of like it's another one of those I think it need he still needs some time to cook. I do like Tristan Angels as an overall whole. And even that Romeo Moreno, I kind of like what I see early on here with him. But again, like kind of to your point, like these guys are really earning their chops on NXT on on live TV or nearly live TV. Oh my gosh. I really it's hard to handle Birthright it, with any level of seriousness. Lexus King through copious amounts of shenanigans from Birthright ends up defeating Lucian Price, who it was kind of one of those interesting things to me that I thought was holding it, that could have been a problem earlier in NXT, you know, even before the call-ups here. It seemed like they had a lot of the guys in tag teams for whatever reason. You know, like there was Hank and Tank, OTM. I'm trying to think of who else some of the tag teams were, but I mean, they were all, you know, men's teams. Like they didn't really have too many women's tag teams, just specifically. And I was surprised they hadn't tried to split some of these guys up before now. It was weird because since Jeremy watches AAA more than both of us, he saw what's his name? Oh, Bronco Nema, the other member of OTM down there. And he's just like, hold on, why is like they didn't make a big deal of it on NXT TV for a little while, but they've definitely made a big deal about it here recently. And I'm just like, you know, they haven't really hit as a tag team for whatever reason.
No.
Why not give them a chance as singles wrestlers? Like
I
I
don't like
again,
their
like
wrestling.
we're kind of pointing out how bad the division is. It's just like to me, like I give them a chance. Like I guess I've liked the segments that they've done as OTM, and now, you know, we'll see. I think the single stuff has been kind of working for them. But also not completely surprised. Birthright needs something, so I wasn't completely surprised that Lexus King won that match, despite being a little more behind the Lucian Price hype train. Like no one at Birthright is gonna do anything. So there's that. Jeez. Oh yeah, because that's where I missed the Keanu Carver being in the office and just kind of waiting his turn. And then yeah, I guess next match up here, just because the other stuff is either we talked about already or skippable. Kendall Gray and Ren Sinclair take on Kalani Jordan and Callie Armstrong. This is another one similar to Tony D'Angelo. Kalani Jordan's getting in that what the heck is going on here territory
Yeah.
of every again, like you already pointed out, like most of the people in her class have gotten called up. I don't see that there's any reason not to call her up. But mysteriously, she's down there. And then after this match, she seems to be taking a little bit of a backseat to Callie Armstrong, and it's just like, I don't, this isn't going to do this character any favors. You
No,
know,
it
being
really
relegated
hasn't.
to second place to the you know, top challenger.
Well, Kalani Jordan is the top challenger. She's got the title match at
Oh,
the
she
Heat
does have
Wave.
the title match first.
Kelly Armstrong is trying to get in the North American title match.
Oh well, yeah, I guess after was that mentioned after this match or yeah, it
Yeah,
was after the match.
that was after match. Yeah, I mean, it seems like we're doing here is we are setting up for the Kendall Gray run Sinclair breakup for sure.
Oh. Yeah, well, I mean, they love a good breakup there.
They do a lot of their breakup, even though I like them as a team. I like them as friends. I'm not sure which of the two. I mean, I think Rince Sinclair is. No, I guess everyone needs to have their heel run. So it could go. I guess it could go either way. I mean, Kendall Gray is very much carrying this women's division at this point. She's phenomenal. And
Yeah, they have not really wasted a whole lot of time with her. I wonder how much time it's gonna take her to possibly get to the main roster. Like, it could be the shortest homegrown talent
yeah,
to main roster.
it could it, it yeah it could be pretty short for her. I mean, it probably should be. She's pretty well a natural again. And then, as I said, Kalani Jordan finally getting her PLE championship challenge. It just doesn't feel like a big deal yet.
No.
She's regressing staying in NXT this long. Maybe not as a worker, but as someone with any kind of presence or she's yeah, she's right. She's fading into the background.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, I guess I kind of forgot she was the one with the championship shot just because of how this match shook out, and just it doesn't feel like it's her time either at the pay-per-view.
No, it
Like,
definitely
why
doesn't
would
feel like
you
her
have
time.
Kendall Gray lose that quickly? Like, I know that the NXT Championship changes hands more frequently than the main WWE championships, but it still doesn't change hands that frequently. You know, so because I don't, I can't, I wouldn't want to say, but I don't think Lola Vice's run was terribly long. You know, it always feels like it's a crowning, more times than not, it's a crowning achievement moment, and then they move on to the main roster.
Right.
So, yeah, they definitely maybe showed some cracks in the foundations of the friendship there, and yeah, I guess I'll be interested with Callie Armstrong here. Like, I feel like that's another one though, where there's just more time needed cooking down there. You know, like, she's definitely on the list
Yeah.
to me that I'm not thinking she's going to be on the express train up to the main roster.
No.
I guess was not completely surprised here. Jackson Drake ends up beating Shiloh Hill with a little bit of help from one Naraku. Jeremy called this one last week because Shiloh Hill was researching the Japanese mist. He ended up getting
Yes, he
Japanese
was.
misted himself. So yeah, and plus it makes sense. Miles Bourne is a baby face. Jackson Drake is a heel. We get a baby face heel matchup for the NXT North American Championship out of this whole situation.
Yeah.
So it yeah, that one all worked out for everyone involved. And then oh yeah, I kind of forgot. It seems they are going to be unifying the North American and Speed Championship on the women's side, at least.
Yeah, it looks like they're
It does
gonna do
not
that.
seem like
Yeah.
they're headed that way on the men's side for
No, it
whatever
really
reason.
doesn't. That's yeah. I mean, these speed championships can go. It's so silly. The idea that so many other matches go 20 minutes and these only go three. It doesn't. or five for a title match. It just
Yeah,
doesn't
it's
work.
even in NXT
It's never
where
worked.
they generally keep the matches shorter because it is younger talent. Yeah, still boiling it down to 3 to 3 or 5 minutes is not helpful to anyone. You know, like you don't really want it that short unless it's an intentional squash match, then, you know, obviously a whole different kind of topic.
And the men's championship, as we mentioned earlier, just being a toy for Lexus King and Birthright. I mean, at that point, just burn it.
Yeah, that was really the only curious thing I found about it. I'm just like, it's an unnecessary championship. Once they got off of Twitter, it became unnecessary. Not quite sure why they kept it around this long, honestly.
No.
But I think that does it because we closed out the show with the four way between the main event talent there on the men's side.
Yeah, we did.
So on to AEW. This show just felt really weirdly constructed. And the fact Jeremy and I have started on this just because AEW has made it even more of a habit here recently. I am not sure why this show went 2 hours and 34 minutes.
There's no reason for this. No, you're exactly right. There's just none.
There was nothing that happened on this show that you know, like you could have cut a number of things to get this down to a 2 hour show, and it still would have, and it would have been a fine show. It was weird that both Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay had matches separately that just really meant bupkis.
They meant nothing. Yeah. There was advancement in their issue for sure,
Oh,
but it
yes.
didn't come in this during the course of of these two matches. Really, these two matches
No.
did not need to exist.
No.
The Don
No.
Callis family getting to ha having to have their fingers in every single thing in AEW is so beyond tired. And it's tired isn't the right word for it, because tired is something you use to describe something that was once interesting that now it really isn't anymore. The Don Callis family has never been interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was kind of funny that they're just like, it hadn't completely dawned on me until they mentioned it about how all over the show the Don Callis family was. And I'm just like,
At least
oh
without
my
Don
gosh.
Callis this week.
Yes, thank
That
goodness.
helped.
That is a minor help in this whole situation. Anytime Don Callis is not on my TV, it's a good day.
They think he has good heat. That's what they think. They think that oh that he is just so interesting. He's just a modern every great manager of all time.
Yeah.
You can just build a whole show around him. You can send him out. He can be like Bobby Heenan or Jimmy Hart on those early WrestleManias. You can send them out five times, and no one's ever gonna get tired of it.
Yeah, I don't know why they think that because I mean it was kind of funny that the crowd was chanting how much he sucks even when he wasn't there. And that to me is one of those times where you're just going, yeah, like guys, he's not even here and they're telling you how bad he is. Like this is where we've gotten to, and it's just yeah, he is unnecessary at best. At best. But I guess thank goodness for small favors. I was not surprised though on the overall night. His teams took so many L's. Just so many L's.
Well, only two or three of his guys ever win anything ever, anyway.
Oh my gosh. Because yeah, Will Ospreay, Hinare, and the fact that this gentleman's name is Francesco Akira is it's a thing of beauty to me as far as I'm concerned. Brian Cage and Lance Archer, two of the big guys that love to take losses. And boy, Rocky Romero is just a complete dipshit at this point.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of funny that he just slid to celebrate, and Will Ospreay's like, "Oh, thanks, I'll take that opening and just take your head off." So that part was fine. We end up bringing down. Oh yeah, I forgot we kept on flipping between this weird backstage interviews and in-ring interviews with some situations, because I believe it was Renee that talked to Kazuchika Okada backstage, and then Kyle Fletcher responded in ring. So I mean, we got even more Don Callis family directly after the first segment with Don Callis
Yes,
family.
and Kyle Fletcher is not the most interesting talker on this roster for sure, and he is definitely one of those more inexplicable Tony Khan just loves this guy pushes.
Yeah, I mean, I like him okay, but I also don't think he's anything all that special. But he does stick around. And that helps to me, in my opinion. Like, to me, Takeshita is never going to do himself any favors. I'm happy for him that he gets the work in New Japan and he gets the work in AEW. I feel like even though he was a heavyweight champion over in New Japan, for the most part, they're not going to trust him or keep him around, to do anything important because he's just splitting time. And AEW is the
Yeah.
same way, where it's just like everything that the guy ends up doing is fleeting because he's got to go jet off to the other place. And yeah, I guess it just does not do any good to me for his character in AEW, since I don't watch New Japan. That can go fly a kite. And then we did kind of talk about the advancement here. It is still strange to me that Kenny Omega is some type of wizened heel now.
Yeah.
But
It's
they've
been
committed
subtle
to the
until
bit.
yeah, they're committing to this, and he is playing his part well. Osprey coming off like a bit of a dork. And he was whiny. He sounded very just whiny during that promo. Just not what you want your top face to be. Omega outclassed him in every way there.
I thought he was. I thought Omega was a little too cartoony, but I do think that Ospreay did not come off well in that. And
What are we talking about? Why are we talking about COVID
what?
protocols in 2026? What is this? What are you even brought up? What on this? Like why is this the crux of their argument? When did
Oh,
this
I
become the
have.
crux of their argument?
Yeah, I don't know. It became it during this segment, and I'm not quite sure
Yeah.
why. Like, it's just another one of those ones that, it keeps them going towards being angry at each other and being true opponents, which I guess I appreciate on some level. But the problem on the other hand is I don't really care about the problems or understand the problems really. Like, this is one where the WWE has done a much better job of drawing off of history Yeah, just with a lot of the recent angles that you and I have talked about, you don't even have to go that far back. CM Punk and Kevin Owens, that's on the list. Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, like they just do a better job of tying, even if they fabricate some of the history that's in there, or play it a little fast and loose. They do a better job of getting that together. And yeah, like I definitely still have my problems with even though this feud is good to be establishing a heel and a baby face in this situation, it's still a little bit weird to me that Kenny Omega just decided to do this recently,
This is
and
all
extremely recently.
this is all so recent. If this was our end game, why? I'm trying to remember if Kenny Omega was hurt at all. Was he hurt like in the spring or something? Or was Kenny? I'm
Well,
keeping pretty
yeah,
pretty
because
consistent.
that was part of the promo that Ospreay pointed out, that he took 2 different months off in the last couple of months. Like
Yeah, I think so. That
they
did.
started to push him, and I mean, I don't know if it was injury related or what exactly it was, but yeah, he had a couple of big kind of skip times recently, and it's just like if he would have been moving towards being a heel in that time period, it really would have helped out to figure out what this character's doing, but
What
they
should
didn't.
have happened was MJF never should have gotten the belt back.
Oh,
Or
wow.
Omega should have been the one to beat MJF. So that again, because it's just how sudden this all is. Like how, the Kenny win over MJF, and then the pivot to Omega and Ospreay first, babyface versus babyface, and then Kenny kind of slowly becoming a heel, because which is fine. You want something. You want a slow. Maybe you want a slow burn in that regard, but the match was coming up too quick. If Omega had turned heel, in like April, May, somewhere in there, won the title, then we're probably then we're more off to the races here.
Yeah, you have more runway
Yeah.
if you do it back then, instead of having the Darby Allin interlude in
Yes,
there.
the Darby Allin interview I think hurt ultimately, because no one thinks about Darby Allin as a former world champion at this point. It killed time that MJF could have been his champion, and then we've changed the title 3 times this year already, heading into the biggest show of the year. And again, you can do that sometimes, but it doesn't feel as big of a deal as it could have been if. Okay, we're cruising along to MJF versus Ospreay. Then we made this pivot, and it just would have served a lot. As I said, it just would have served a lot better if we stuck to that. We come up with this as the end game, and started really building towards it, earlier, because a show like All In kind of commands that. Like obviously last year the Death Rider, the culmination of Moxley and the Death Riders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But like
Yeah,
way bigger deal than this.
and I just don't know why they didn't do it either. It's definitely been one of those things that's been a bit of a mystery here with the whole goings on about this. Like, there's yeah it definitely could have been pulled, the trigger pulled. Oh, and that was the part that I was trying to think of. This part, it's you were kind of talking about all of the title changes they've had already this year. Like, I feel like I could get behind someone being not as extensive as the WWE does these days, but longer than what AEW does. You know,
Yeah.
just because like it does make it feel like it's a big deal beating the champion when they've been champion for a long, you know, at least a couple of, you know, 3 or 4 months,
Yeah.
as opposed to it just being 1 or 2 months. Just like, oh, well, you've kind of beat the new champ. Okay. You know, it's
Yeah.
it hasn't been defended, so why does it matter that much? Yeah, so that segment happened there. And what was four-way match just out of the blue for the AEW TBS Championship. Hikaru Shida, Chris Statlander, Persephone, and the defending Maya World
They
ends
actually
up
had this
getting.
matchup last week, so it didn't come out of the
Oh,
blue.
that is fair.
That's fair, but whatever. I mean, they again, then they just kind of throw it. They just kind of threw it out there. Maya World retains, and then for seemingly no reason, we're getting champion versus champion, Willow versus Maya World on Collision, a week before All In.
They have a good memory when they shouldn't have a good memory. This is a Vinceism that I would kind of get behind in this situation. Kind of just forget about that challenge. You know, again, it's another one where you're taking away from the focus of Willow and Mercedes Moné, which they did a really good job with
They
this
are doing a
night.
really good job with that, and Maya World's, coming along as TBS champion.
Yeah.
And so you're just gonna have her lose to the world champion on Collision, and then just establish that she's fully established that she's beneath her, or you're gonna screw up, are you gonna screw up the build to the one match that seems to be going really, really well heading into All In?
Yeah, it's really strange how often and Jeremy and I definitely talk about this, how often they have their champions lose to other champions on these shows. And I mean, as soon as they booked that match, I'm just like, oh my God, it's just another one of these matches where they're having a champion lose to a champion. Like, stop doing this. Like, there are other challengers for these belts. Like, so unnecessary. John Moxley versus Jay White, Continental Cup quarterfinal.
This was fine. I guess nothing to write home about.
I've never really gotten fully behind Jay White. I've also never really hated Jay White. It's another one though where the guy came has come back and he's just mostly eaten L's in the meantime. And it's just like I if you did want to do something with him, you're, you know, again, starting either at ground zero or below zero, really, to try and make this guy. I don't care how many times he held the New Japan Championship. Like, you've shown me on AEW TV that he is not really worthy of being your champion. So, you know, it's kind of, again, another Vinceism. You're in the WWE now. You really got to prove yourself. AEW should feel the same way. So, this was whatever. We can skip Andrade and Jonathan Cruz because that was a whole lot of nothing, but I guess that did involve the Don Callis family too. but next match, Hechicero, he got one whole win, and then had to lose yet again on AEW TV. Again, Don Callis family just there to catch L's for the most part. Outside of what's his name that we mentioned earlier, Kyle Fletcher, Kazuchika Okada, and is there one other person? Oh, Kevin Knight, I guess, who we'll get to here at some point. Oh, well, I guess that was the next segment up here. Actually, kind of interesting to have Kevin Knight. I feel like they committed to him being behind the fireworks going off in Darby Allin's face after he told him he did not want anyone, he didn't want Darby Allin to bring a flamethrower down. And I can't blame him for that. No one should be running around with a flamethrower in professional wrestling.
No, they really should not. And yes, Darby Allin getting his Jeff Hardy on, being attacked by the pyro, and then being beat down by the Jet Kevin Knight.
Yeah, this is one they've actually done an okay job with the build
They've
for
done an
this.
okay job with it. I think Kevin Knight might be a little overpushed at this point, but he's also rising to the occasion too when he's getting the chance. Definitely better as a heel. Darby's always going to be, over to that degree as a face, and some of people are going to enjoy seeing. They're going to have, a Darby style match at Wembley. So, that checks that box.
Yeah, and it all worked out fairly well with that one. And that yeah, that was one of the better segments, honestly, on the night there. And then yeah, we did end with the Matt and
Well,
Nick
you missed
Jackson.
you actually missed quite a bit.
Oh, you
Well,
really
we
want to?
well,
Oh my God, I
the
forgot
trios
that.
mess. You forgot the trios mess, and we didn't really talk about the Mercedes Willow actual segment.
Oh, well, that's fair. Where was
Well, it was after the Death Riders left, the dogs attacked Jay White, and then it was just a big brawl in the trios division, leading to Hangman making the some type of challenge for All In. We don't know exactly what we don't know what it's all going to entail.
Because oh yeah, I
And
and
then
how can
Swerve is
I
apparently going to get, and then Swerve's apparently going to get a couple of partners to join him for whatever this is going to be, whether it's just going to be two, 3-on-3 there, or all the other everyone else involved, or who knows.
Yeah, it was a very vague challenge on Adam Page's part.
I could see this being one of those things where it turns into like a big ladder match or something, maybe.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they're gonna have multiple teams involved. You know, a minimum of four trios teams, which is 12 people in the ring. Like even when they did those the tag team Survivor Series back in the day, it was unwieldy then. It is still unwieldy now.
Well, WWE was doing 6-team TLC matches.
Yeah, still a
Last year
little
that did.
unwieldy.
And then we've got the, I don't know,
But yeah,
how many
and
actual
how could
teams
I
are there?
almost I could 'cause well,
And then
yeah, I mean the dogs are one team. Who else was in that? Well, the conglomeration is a
the
team.
conglomeration, the demand, and then
Oh yeah, the swirl, depending upon whether they're going to appear separately or not. Or the lethal swirl now.
the lethal swirl, the lethal and lethal twist is it, I guess, what they're called now, the lethal twist.
Oh, it's what? Oh,
But they've joined up with the demands. Where, so are they going to be the match separately from the demand? Whatever it is, yeah.
yeah, it's all a bit confusing, and yeah, because the whole segment with with Swerve Strickland ended up happening later. Like, it wasn't even part of this big brawl afterwards. And how dare I skip our favorite part of the night, which was Kyle O'Reilly punching somebody in the corner. And it
Yeah.
was the least believable moment in wrestling. It was worse than anything that any of the men in NXT do, dare I
It was
say.
guy, and this guy used to do an MMA gimmick, basically. This guy used to act like walk around acting like he was like a real tough guy.
Yeah,
And these
it.
those are his working punches.
Yeah, that was one of those it legitimately felt like a cartoon,
It was
you know.
cartoonish, yes.
So yeah, that I am sorry for forgetting about that terribleness. But I mean, I guess we did compliment to kind of go down the list. The pull apart brawl with Willow and Mercedes Moné. Well, A, I guess it started as separate promos, and then it got heated enough that it turned into a brawl that Mercedes Moné got the jump on Willow to start with, and then Willow ended up making the comeback. And then security eventually ended up separating them.
Yeah, very intense, very, very, very good all around. Yes, these in many ways the highlight of AEW right
Yeah, that's a really that's an interesting one where I guess Mercedes doesn't really need the win. I guess
now. No,
I'd
but
like to
we're.
see Willow retain just
Yeah.
because.
This is another one where Willow just won the title in
Yeah.
July.
Yeah.
Again, this reaction was kind of, again, it's one of those things
This one
that
was
came together
injury
quicker.
maybe dependent, but
Possibly, yes.
it's also one of those ones where sometimes trying to shoehorn in what you had wanted to do, but injuries got in the way. It's just like sometimes you do just need to move on to plan B, and it just might be better for your product, you know.
Yeah.
Even if plan A is available, and that does it to me, that at least seems to be the case with Willow, where they thought she was going to be gone longer than she really was. Like, it only ended up being like a little over a month or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost seemed like within that month they almost should have moved on, just given the circumstances. And now, hey, I mean, I guess like you said, like it is probably the best thing in AEW right now, but it still is it is a whole feels
Yeah,
rushed.
I'm thinking that yeah, Willow should lose. Although, at this point in Mercedes AEW journey, for her to have never been the world champion, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, like she is really done it to an even different level than Becky Lynch did. Like, I know that Becky Lynch has been living in the IC title realm here for a solid 2 years now or something like that.
Funny.
Mercedes has been in the kind of undercard TBS championship area for going on 3 years now. And I agree with you. It's kind of strange. To me, it's going to be strange if she doesn't win it. Like, she is your biggest name that you have on the roster, and she hasn't won the championship. So, yeah, I guess that's one of those ones where that matchup might be one of the reasons they get my money.
Yeah.
Was there anything else that I did blow through there
I
that
can't believe I'm even remembering this to remind you. The segment with MJF's interpreter and Andrade and an MJF
Oh,
promo. We can just blow
yeah,
right through
that's
that, but yeah, that happened.
yeah, yeah, I was ready to just move along.
Yeah. We can move on to the main
Because
event now, and yeah.
I n nothing re well, it was nothing new from
No.
MJF. Just making, being on Long Island and taking the week off. He's done so many of those. I guess I don't mind them, but it's also not something
No.
that is terribly noteworthy.
No, it's not.
Matt and Nick Jackson and Kenny Omega take on El Clone, Jake Doyle, and Mark Davis because the Don Callis family had not taken enough losses on the night.
Yeah. And then the actual story developed with Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega immediately putting his heel cap on as and one of those moments we're supposed to remember that Kenny Omega is actually a VP of this company, calls for security to remove Will Ospreay.
Security looked a little reluctant to comply.
Yeah, and then there's Ospreay in his in his dad's polo shirt. Like, dude, couldn't dress cooler than that.
I'd be more with it if he decided to wear his jersey, like his Billy Goat jerseys or
Yeah, he
something
should
like
probably
that.
should have. Yeah.
The did not really work for me either.
Omega
Oh
attacks. Go ahead.
yeah, 'cause I forgot that there was a giant schmoz here
Giant
to end
schmoz
this.
leading to a one-winged angel through the table, which pretty much put the exclamation point on Kenny Omega is supposed to be the heel here.
Again, I mean, they have definitely established Kenny Omega is the bad guy in this situation. Like, for all of the missteps that they have taken, like they're drilling this thing home.
Well, they
So
have to. It's in a week and a half. They don't have much more time here. They have one more episode of Dynamite, pretty much.
Good on them getting their main event still kind of churning in the right direction there. I guess another reason, like, even though the outcome's predictable, just seeing the match itself might be worth the human monies out of my pocket. Oh, I guess maybe worth talking about if only shortly here, Ilya Dragunov reportedly out of the WWE as we speak.
Yeah.
Anything?
Not surprised. I mean, it's just, I don't know what to say. I mean, the guy was a good, great worker. Got a little momentum around him during the US title run, but was still never anything super hot. I mean, or anything. I think Carmelo Hayes actually had a better, run, open challenge US title run.
Oh.
Yeah,
I feel like anyone within his height and weight territory. I know the guy works out like a crazy person. I've seen the videos. It's impressive. If you're vertically challenged in the WWE, it's just r extremely tough sledding. Again,
it
another
is.
Vinceism that has not really changed a whole lot,
And it shouldn't, for the most part.
even
You have to be really, really. He's talented, but not in the flashiest mode. Obviously, it's his whole gimmick that he's not flashy. He's not dynamic.
He just gets into slugfest and wins. He has a very
I wouldn't even say slugfest. He's more of your classic worker. I mean, he can be stiff and all that. Yeah, that but. I don't really like to consider that slugfest.
Oh, well, I guess to me, his main matches have all been slugfests against Gunther, like his
Well,
most
yes.
high profile ones. And Yeah, like you kind of saw, because I saw a clip of it of Brock Lesnar pretty much no selling him and tossing him out of the Rumble earlier this year. Yeah, I mean that kind of sums things up. You know, at some point, it's kind of weird to say that Gunther's small enough that you could maybe pull that off. Ilya Dragunov versus Brock Lesnar is a tough sell for me. You know, like I
Yeah.
know that it can be done because Rey Mysterio has fought Brock Lesnar and others. But again, like you've really got to be something special to be filling in that void. And yeah, as much as I like Dragunov, I think he's better off not in the WWE. You know, again, like he's kind of vertically challenged. I think his style probably fits in AEW better than a lot of people that have been released from WWE.
Yeah. Yeah,
But if his
he'll get his
family
one.
is still
Go ahead.
really in Russia, like maybe he goes back. I don't know. Like that
I
seems
don't remember.
wild to
I
me.
don't know. But you know what? He goes to AEW, he gets his 1 month Ciampa push, and then it's just nothing for after that, basically.
Oh. Yeah. He'll be the shiny new toy for a little while, and then he won't be, and that'll be that, and he'll just kind of collect a paycheck.
Yeah.
So yeah, good luck to Ilya Dragunov. Bell Time Beer here on my end. One of my favorite places to stop on our way down to my in-laws' family vacation. Mirror Twin Brewing in Lexington, Kentucky. This is a new beer that I got from them. I had not gotten the chance to try this. It's called Pulp Addiction Orange Creamsicle North New England IPA. I almost said Northeast IPA. Sheesh. I mean, it is Northeast. But this thing, the side of it says smooth, citrusly, dangerously addictive. I do think that this thing could be dangerously addictive. I wish I was closer to Lexington, Kentucky to be able to get their beer on a more regular basis, quite frankly. They make some of the best beer out there, and this New England IPA, if you like creamsicle and you like IPAs, New England IPAs, this one should be right up your alley here. Yeah, it kind of delivers on the orangeness of it, the creamsicle and the you know floral hop end of a New England IPA. So should one find themselves in Lexington, Kentucky, stop in at Mirror Twin Brewing. They also have a very delicious food. So there is that. At DeFrank, suggestion from At DeFrank 11, brand is that Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.